ministry of Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. Our vision, bringing people into the full realization of their potential in God, and our mission, building a community of believers whose lifestyle positively influences change in the society. Welcome to Lighthouse. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregon, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord this evening. You're welcome to church. It is our beautiful exchange service, and we welcome you from wherever you are watching from across the globe. The world has indeed become a global village, and we just welcome you into our service this evening. Hope you had a wonderful day at work. You are welcome. Praise the Lord. Let's share a word of prayer this evening before we continue in the service. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you. Thank you, God Almighty, for the privilege to be in your presence again. And Lord, we have come to your at your feet to learn. We ask Jehovah God that your Holy Spirit will open our eyes of understanding and that our ears, O God Almighty, will be open to your word this evening. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Wherever you are, at home, on the way from work, or you are even in the office still, please give us your attention for the next couple of minutes as we continue in our family series that we started at the beginning of July. Praise the Lord. So on Wednesday last week, Pastor started the topic on the family of origin. And I took it further on Sunday, and this evening I actually just want to wrap it up. So on that Sunday, I talked about different things that we need to look out for when we want to get married. And I'm just going to start and read our foundation scriptures this evening before I continue. So I read from Isaiah 51, verses 1 to 2. It says, "Listen to me, all who hope for deliverance, all who seek the Lord. Consider the rock from which you were cut, the quarry from which you were mined." Again, I read Luke 14 and verse 28. Luke 14, verse 28. It says, "But don't begin until you count the cost. For who would begin construction of a building without first calculating the cost to see if there's enough money to finish it? Otherwise, you might complete only the foundation before running out of money, and then everyone would laugh at you." And this evening I join a third scripture, and I read from Hosea 4, a popular scripture, verse 6. Hosea 4, verse 6. It says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And in this matter of marriage, we actually see that happening a lot. And I want to quote what somebody said. You know, I read someone's book and what she said, a wise woman of God. We normally say that love is blind. But this woman of God said, love is never blind because God is love. And God is not a blind God. He says, many of us are blinded by our desires and our lust. I say again, we normally say love is blind. But this wise woman of God says, love is never blind because God is love. And God is not a blind God. Many of us are blinded by our desires and our lust. Hallelujah. That is a tough saying, but it is true. So, continuing from where I stopped on Sunday, and I would like to go back. As I was pondering on this, I want to say something about spirituality and religiosity, particularly for those who converted. Maybe you were once Muslim and then you became a Christian, you know, and there are quite a number of us that are like that. Or we come from another religion entirely. I have seen situations where, because we were not deliberate, when we get married, we tend to fall into diverse issues as a result of our religious background. So when you leave a particular religion, make sure, and you go into another one, you change religions, as it were, or you become a Christian, make sure that you understand where you are coming from and where you are presently, particularly when you get married. So it will not be a case of, for instance, you were once Muslim and then you now became a Christian and then you had a child and they say they must barb the hair of the child on the 8th day before the name because your parents are still Muslims. And some of us are actually not strong enough to convey our resolves to our parents. So please, it is very important that we understand and, you know, recognize the spirituality and religiosity aspect. So today I just want to continue and tie it up. Like I said, knowledge is key. Why are we talking so much about family of origin? Because we have realized that it is a major. If we can handle this and understand it well, we would reduce or minimize the issues that we have in marriages. And when we are dealing with this family of origin, we will have to unlearn and relearn. Like we say these days, you unlearn and relearn. We need to analyze and discuss family values and traditions. Why are we doing all of this? Why are we doing all of this? When we take a focused look at these things, these issues that we have talked about, I said quite a number of things on Sunday. You may want to get the podcast. We are better able to see why we do what we do, why we have particular beliefs. For instance, you know, I like to use practical examples that you can relate to. I happen to be a firstborn child. And so when I was growing up, and my mother too was the firstborn of her mother, not of her father, but of her mother. And while I was growing up, I saw that my mother was responsible for her siblings. You know, send some to school, do this for that, do that for that. So as I was growing up, I realized that as a firstborn in this part of the world, a lot of responsibility lies on you. A lot lies on you. So as I was growing and, you know, looking for someone to marry, I think God just gave me that wisdom. And I still say it to people now. If you're a firstborn, you want to go and marry another firstborn, you have to check it out. You have to know what you are signing up for. So that it will not be a case of demands here and there, such that you are not even able to attend to your own children or to your own needs. Hallelujah. And I talked about responsibility again on Sunday. And I remember well that even though, like I said, I'm the firstborn, and my father was a civil servant and retired, you know, at 60 and all of that. And he wasn't, we will call ourselves a middle-class family. But I remember, recollect vividly that by the time my siblings finished, I think my second sibling finished university, and we said, okay, come and go and, further your education. Do PGD and something. My father actually asked the girl and said, how much do you have? Somebody that had just finished university, didn't have a job. Because for him, he had done, I think, the minimum required or the maximum required. I really don't know. At the end of the day, I had to pay for the PGD. Luckily, I was working. And then the last one came and said, after school, I'm still at home. Let me do computer science. At that time, you know, when you go and learn computer, that's all this, what do you call those places? Business centers, all those, whatever. Say, go on. And my father says, okay, so, and we said, this is how much it is. He said, how much do you have? I was like, I am not the one that gave birth to the child. Why are you asking me to pay? You know? But that is the mindset of our parents. So, if you are a firstborn, going to marry another firstborn. I'm not saying it is bad. I'm explaining to you why I have come about my own beliefs. And I am yet to be proven wrong. Until when I'm proven wrong, I will hold to my own belief. If you are marrying a firstborn or you are marrying an only son, you need to sit down and count the cost. Hallelujah. You need to sit down and count the cost. Sometimes, it is not that a particular way of doing something is wrong. It is just that there may be a better way. Also because we are building a relationship, a new one as it is. So it is wisdom for the two people involved to discuss and arrive at what suits them both. It is better. It is wisdom for us to sit down and discuss and arrive at what suits us both. In order for our marriages to be successful long term, the relationship needs to evolve and be shared between two mature, self-aware, well-defined people. And I underline that self-aware. Because I have also come to realize, maybe by virtue of time, you know, going by, that, you know, some relationships at the beginning, it doesn't seem to have issues. First year, second year, you know, third year, you're going. Particularly if the woman married a bit young and she was not self-aware before she got married. So you see some unions way somewhere along the line, way down, they begin to have issues. And you're saying, what happened? You have been, it's the same person that you have married for the past 10 years or 12 years or what, 8 years. You didn't have issues before now. What has just happened is that someone, one of them has just become self-aware. There is self-awareness. And so, maybe the person has been taking, like they say in quotes, rubbish before. Now, your eyes have opened or there has been a light bulb moment and you are saying, no, I can't take this any longer. And then what you have been taking before, you are no longer taking. And so there now comes friction because you have become self-aware. So it is important that our marriages are shared between two mature, self-aware, well-defined people, particularly when we are believers. Particularly when we are believers. Particularly when we are believers. I want to talk about, like I said, essentially today. I'm just going to wrap up. But today, because I know that some, you know, when we're talking on Sunday, I said something about if you had gone into this without knowing all of this. So what is supposed to happen? What are we going to do? And I know I mentioned something about course correction. So I'm just going to talk, you know, about that course correction this evening. I'm going to talk about the course correction. Peradventure, you are in this union now, and there are issues. How do we do? What do we go? You know, how do we correct these things? And I actually went to check what course correction means. And it says, fixing a situation where there is a problem currently. Fixing a situation where there is a problem currently. So how do we do a course correction? Peradventure, we have gone into marriage with all of this, our family baggages, our family of origin baggages. How do we do a course correction? Number one, examine yourself and take an objective look and find your own errors. Each party must examine themselves. And take an objective look and find their own errors. I read from Luke 6 and verse 42. Luke 6 and 42, another popular scripture. And we quote it a lot. It says, or how can you say to your brother, brother, let me remove the speck that is in your eye, when you yourself do not see the plank that is in your own eye? Hypocrite. First, remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck that is in your brother's eye. So, essentially, you want to do a course correction. Your marriage, you know, your relationship has issues as a result of, you know, family of origin, baggages, and all of that. Examine yourself and take an objective look and find your own errors. Examine yourselves, you know, and take an object. A lot of the time, we just feel, oh, somebody, she's the one that has a problem. He's the one that has a problem. But, you know, like that saying says, goes. It says, it takes two to tango. And I have found that in any issue, while you have the person that is, the principal, or the principal person, there is always a second person that is an enabler. There's always an enabler. So, if you're not the one that is offending, you are the one that is the enabler. So, when you have issues in marriage, you need to check. We need to examine ourselves and take an objective look. There's a lot that we can do even with this. But then again, thank God for the help of the Holy Spirit. We can also depend on the Holy Spirit to help us to get lasting changes. Because you can actually pray. And you know, David prays that scripture. Open myself. So let me see how I am. Father, Lord, shed your light on me and let me see. That's a prayer you can pray. Shed your light inside my heart and let me see me for me. You can actually ask the Holy Spirit to open our eyes to see how we are. So step one is examine yourself and take an objective look. If you are not the one that is the principal offender, you are most likely the enabler. Or in fact, the two of you may be offenders. So we need to examine ourselves and look. That is an A. A B is that we should admit our failures and check our maturity. I see that, you know, and I had said this like two Sundays ago, that marriage is not a battleground. So when we have issues, we see that both parties are quick to, you know, defend themselves. They are struggling. No, you are the one that is wrong. I'm the one that is right and all of that. But we must be humble enough to acknowledge our failures, to admit our failures. There's nothing bad in you failing. It just means that you did not know better. So now that you know better, please admit your failures. Check your maturity. We tend to place blames on one another. And that is a very natural emotion of self-preservation. Everybody wants to be right in their own eyes. But we are not mature when we tend to do that. When we make excuses and we rationalize around our failures, instead of being willing to admit our faults and take responsibility for them, then we are not mature. We are not mature. If we are mature, we will step back, take a look at our relationship, and see where it needs to be changed. So, like I said, course correction. Step one, examine yourself, take an objective look, and find your own errors. That same one, B, admit your failures and check how mature you are. Check how mature you are. If you are pushing blame on the other person, yeah, it is because he did this. It is because she did that. That is why you did what you did. Then you are not mature. Then you are immature. And that is it. You are just immature. If you cannot admit responsibility, you are immature. Number two, and this is quite interesting because you feel that if I say I have a problem, then I must be willing to work on it. But we see that that is not the case. So number two, decide if you want to improve the situation. Decide if you want to improve the situation. You need to decide whether you want the situation to improve. Most of the time, a party is unwilling to take the first step until he or she sees that the other party has also, you know, started down the journey of change. But quite a number of times, and you know, as pastors, you see a lot. People come to counseling tables, come before you, and in fact, sometimes those people that sit for long, kudos to people like pastor. Kudos to them because I don't have that kind of patience. Because you see, people, the problem is right, it is clear to everybody. But each person is just manning their own corner. Nobody wants to change. Nobody wants to shift ground. So please, may I say, before you come and carry yourself before the pastor, decide that you want to improve the situation. If you are not sure that you want the situation to improve, just stay. And don't bring people, you know, into your issues. And that's where we hear people say, this person helped us to talk to this person. And the person talked to another person. But the situation has not changed. The situation hasn't changed because you have not decided to work on it. So, if you want to do course correction, please decide if you want to improve the situation. If you want to improve the situation. If each person is manning their own corners, then we arrive at a set of stalemate. Nothing is going to change. Nothing is going to change. You are not going to move forward. You are going to remain in that status quo. And may I remind us that God holds us accountable for our own actions, not our mate's reactions. You are responsible for your actions, not your mate's reactions. So own it. Own your own actions. Own your own change. Own it. Don't say, it's because. And I find this again, like I said, that somebody doesn't want to change. Because, you know, in a rut, that rut is paying somebody and not paying the other person. So for instance, and please, my brethren, my brothers, I am not dissing us, but that is the reality. In our part of the world, we run a patriarchal system. So no matter what you say it is still a man's world, particularly when it comes to marriage. So what you find is that when the woman is complaining about something, because the man is enjoying it, is benefiting from it, the man will say, I don't understand. She's the one that has a problem. I don't have any problem. I don't have any issues with it. But please, if you are in a union or a relationship and the other party is not happy, it is your responsibility to ensure, to see that you do your utmost best, that the other party comes out. You know, sit down and discuss these matters. Don't turn a blind eye and say, I don't have any issues. Me, I don't know what she's talking about. I don't have any problems. Me, I don't know what he's talking about. I am okay. As I am safe, I am very okay. I don't know what he's talking about. And we hear that a lot. But again, that is a sign of immaturity. Hallelujah. So, point number three in this course correction. Learn to communicate. A lot of us do not know how to communicate. Learn to communicate. Most of the issues that we have as married people, if we could actually communicate, we would have less issues. If we can sit down peaceably and discuss our differences, then we can solve any disagreement. We can. But like I said, we do a lot of blame gaming. Blame gaming. It is his fault. It is her fault. And we do not allow ourselves to talk. If you cannot communicate, if you find it difficult to communicate with your spouse, and this, even if it is not a family of origin issue, if you just find it difficult to communicate with your spouse, please ask yourself these questions. Number one, and these are very pertinent questions to ask. Number one, what barriers have you used to prevent a meaningful exchange of thoughts? Unknowingly, we put up barriers. We have walls. So when the other person is saying something, we cannot even hear. We can't hear what the person is saying. We don't understand because there are barriers already. So you need to ask yourself, what barriers have you used to prevent a meaningful exchange of thoughts? If you cannot sit down to discuss with your partner without getting into an argument or getting into a fierce fight. Number two, what private property have you been protecting? Like I said, in a dysfunctional situation, one person is benefiting from the dysfunctional situation. So because of that, the person is holding back and not wanting to change or shift ground. So you need to ask yourself, what private property are you protecting? What private property are you protecting? You know, I was talking with someone yesterday, and the person was telling me that when you find somebody telling you, this is how I am, this is what I can, the person is actually covering up something. And so that is what happens when we talk of communication. When you are quick to, you know, pick a fight, you are quick to, there's something that you are protecting. There's something that you don't want to give up. And number three, what cutting comments have you thrown to hurt your partner? What have you said to hurt your partner? So, you know, some of us, particularly women, you know, we have the gift of, I don't even know, the gift of speaking. So before the man says one, you have said 10. You have gone ahead and you have thrown all sorts of jabs, you know. What cutting comments have you thrown to hurt your partner? Such that when they even ask the man to speak, the man is just sitting and looking and saying, I don't have anything to say. I don't have anything to say. Because before he says one, you have landed 20. So what cutting comments have you thrown to hurt your partner? And may I say this, that in these times, I have found also men who can talk more than women. And my advice, if you are close to me, I say it, when you see a man that talks much more than a woman and can explain things and give you step one and step two, run far away from that man is trouble. A man should not be able, you know, should not have that kind of, such that you are able to explain to me, step one, yesterday this is what she did, today she did this, tomorrow she did that. Please, run far away from such man. Number four, are you willing to concentrate, listen to what your partner has to say? Communication is not easy. But again, I go back to what I said initially. Marriage is not a battleground. The Bible says, can two walk together except they be agreed? I want to believe that the reason why you're in that union is because the two of you agree. At least at some point you agreed. Even if you're not agreeing now, at some point you agreed. You know? So, the two of you, I have had to say, you know, in times past, even I have had to say, because when you, and that, you know, we tend to be defensive. And I have had to say, I am not fighting you here. We are on the same side. We are working towards the same goal. So when I'm questioning you, I just want to know why you did what you did or why you are doing what you are doing. I want us to, so that we can move further in this journey. I am not attacking you. No, it's not an attack. But explain to me, please, why you are doing this. Because we all must always remember that we are supposed to be working towards the same goal. Number five, if you cannot communicate with your spouse, can you sit still and not interrupt? Can you be that patient? Can you be that patient to sit still and not interrupt? You know, some people, as they are talking, their body is shaking. Their body is shaking. He's a lie. No, no. Their body is shaking. Can you sit still and not interrupt? And number six, can you hear complaints and not get defensive? And I dare say that there's a way that you can complain and not, you know, because like I said earlier, how do they say that Latin word? Be something. Before, you know, like, before I go on, let me say, hey, let me explain this. So I am not accusing you of anything, no. I'm not accusing you of any wrong. I am just stating the facts, you know. So can you hear complaints and not get defensive? If we can communicate honestly and helpfully with our partners, we can solve our own marriage problems. We will not have reason, you know, to go and meet a pastor and all of that. If you have cause to go and meet pastor, please, by all means, do. By all means, do. Some people cannot sit by themselves and discuss their issues. So if you're in that category, please seek help. Seek counseling. It is not a big deal. And lastly, talking about course correction. Bring God into the midst of your challenges. Bring God into the midst of your challenges. I remember like a couple of years back, I had a couple quite close to us, and you know, and they were having issues. And I had seen the woman, and she was so blank. She said it whole her. I want a divorce. There's no missing words. And everybody under the sun spoke to her. She said no. But when I said, okay, if that's the case, I called the guy. I said, so what's up? What's happening to you? He said, I'm there. And I said, yeah, there, how? Have you prayed about this? He said, pray. He said, why am I praying? He said, I feel that as you are talking to me now, you should call the two of us and say, this is your own fault. This is your own fault. And then the two of us will just, you know. I said, I said, so what have you been doing? As believers, unfortunately, we neglect that weapon of prayer. We neglect the weapon of prayer. The Bible says that the heart of kings are in God's hands. He can turn it whithersoever he wants. So if you have a difficult situation, you need to pray. You need to pray. And I say this, I've said it before, even in a lot of times in marriages, we need to pray. We need to pray, because if somebody is not seeing what you are seeing, you pray, Father, open the eyes of this person. Let them see what I am seeing. Praise the Lord. So, talking about family of origin, and I'm wrapping this up this evening. On Sunday, we'll continue further with this, our family series. Please, it is important that we know what we are doing before we get into marriage. Again, I take that quote. Love, they say, is blind. But love is never blind, because God is love, and God is not a blind God. Many are blinded by their desires and they are lost. And that is what James talks about. God does not tempt anybody. We are tempted by our desires and our lust. But please, when you get into that marriage and you discover that you have been tempted by your desire and your lust, own it. Own your mistake. And, you know, there's nothing that is impossible with God. Own your mistake and take a course correction. Just do a course correction. Do a course correction. Praise the Lord. Father, thank you this evening. Thank you, Lord God Almighty, because your word is true from the beginning. And so, God Almighty, for everyone that is in a troubled marriage, a troubled relationship, Father, this evening I ask for wisdom. Jehovah God, that you will open their eyes of understanding to know exactly what to do. And Lord, peradventure there is a difficult spouse. Lord, the word says that the heart of kings are in your hands. And Lord, like the course of a river, you turn it whithersoever you want it to go. And so, Father, I ask that for that difficult spouse, O God Almighty, that you turn their hearts, O God Almighty, unto you in the name of Jesus. Lord, thank you for our homes. Thank you for our marriages. Thank you, Lord God Almighty, for our relationships. We pray, O Lord God Almighty, that even in these times and in this season, O God, that our homes will indeed be a symbol, O God Almighty, of the union between Christ and the church, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. As we continue in the week, O God Almighty, we ask Jehovah God that your blessing will continually rest on every soul, every individual, every home, every family, in the name of Jesus. And Lord God, our strength will be renewed, even as we go into the marketplace again tomorrow, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. For in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Thank you so much for watching this evening. Enjoy the rest of your week and see you on Sunday. God bless you.
This message is brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregon, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org. For more.